Hello and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor. I'm here with Mike. We're excited to dive in with you. Just a heads up, this is going to be a shorter podcast, and we just want to ask maybe not that simple question, but we'll give our best answer in a short time. Question is, why VBS? As we are recording this, there are currently three cardboard geckos taped to me. I'm wearing a bandana. Mike's in shorts. This isn't our usual getup. And VBS is the culprit. So it's VBS week at Grace Church of Orange right now as we're recording. And so we just want to unpack why would a church do a vacation Bible school? What's going on that motivates this? And Mike, maybe I'll pass it over to you, because how many VBSs do you think you've been involved with now?
Over my whole life?
All the way. How many VBSs would you estimate?
Okay, so I'm 61, and I've never went to VBS until I was a children's pastor, or till I was a Christian helping with VBS. So I think the first VBS I actually was a part of was 1983 or 84. So a year or so after becoming a believer. And so, well, do the math. Every year since 1983 or 84.
It's a good run. So you have some volume to speak from.
That's 43 years.
Since you were 18, you said?
84, 1984. 84. That would be 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was
40 years.
How old was I? I was 21.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first time I really went to a VBS was like when I've never been a kid at a VBS, okay?
Yeah.
But I've been a leader
at
VBSs.
And I grew up going to VBS. So I'm probably pushing 20 VBS years now. Because I had all those years of involvement as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know.
So what's our question for today?
Why VBS? Why would a church do VBS? Let me let you take the first shot.
Okay.
Where does your mind immediately go?
Well, let's delineate what we're talking about, because sometimes when we talk about things as believers, we just think this must be in the Bible and it's always happened, you know? It's a construct that is basically a VBS. What does it stand for?
Vacation Bible School.
Right. Now, that's an old term, okay? Very, very old term. Yeah, well, when I say very, very old, American very, very old. Like
1950s?
Probably a little 40s, bit earlier 30s? Than that, but something like that, right? We should look it up, right? Yeah. But it's something like that, probably. But here's the thing. What we're talking about is a week-long camp, but not away from home. You come to the church and you know, for 3 or 4 hours a day, you hear the word and sing and play games and maybe do crafts or have snacks or whatever you do, right? And so it's a construct of the church to say, hey, let's get the kids here every day for a certain amount of time to focus on the word and all that, right?
Right.
So we have to break it down and go, okay, so why do something like that?
Correct.
Because VBS, again, some churches just have a different name for it, right? But, you know, and some churches are going back to calling it VBS, and probably kids will not know it means vacation Bible school,
right?
But to say why have it, there's plenty of reasons people give, and they'll say, oh, it's to reach kids for Christ. But you have to ask the question, are you really reaching kids for Christ? So is the content you're giving going to give the gospel clearly, and is it going to call for them to believe? Also, your theological views come in play, because we believe that parents are the primary teachers of their kids. If there's a bunch of Christian kids, or are there unbelievers, you know, right? And so we have to think about that. We have to think about the reason beyond, oh, it's good, it's fun, or even to reach people for Christ. Just the other day, I was reading something from a friend of mine that he was saying, oh, thanks for helping do this or that to reach people for Christ. And I remember thinking to myself, that seems a little trite, because I know the context in which the person is talking, and I know it was a bit of a frivolous thing. You know, it just there was just something about it that didn't hit me correctly. So when we ask the question, why VBS, you have to have a bigger answer and a more eternal focus, or else you could just be spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
Hope that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that
does
make sense.
So reaching people for Christ and doing it in a, why go to Hume Lake? Why have kids go days in a row all day long in a cabin and hearing the Bible and playing games and singing and all that?
Right.
And you can do those things as an unbeliever. Plenty of people go to VBSs and the parents use it as childcare, and it's just, my kid loves that, but the kid's unsaved and they don't really care what we teach them and all of that. But I'd say that our goal is that the Word of God, well, our prayer is that the word of God would pierce the hearts of all who hear, that the word of God, the Spirit of God would use the word to save and sanctify. That's why you do VBS.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I don't know if this is true, Mike, but I was just thinking back to the history of when this all began. The VBS is maybe kind of the final frontier, like the last remaining touch point with a previous generation of kind of evangelical outreach type events and just different kind of things that were happening for kids. Like, you know, what are the different phrases? I can't even think of them right now. Bible hour and, you know, different kind of school outreach things. And like, there were, I think once upon a time in evangelical churches, there was a lot of this like really concerted effort to be reaching out to elementary school age kids. Mm-hmm. And I feel like VBS is kind of one holdover that's still common in a lot of churches, mm-hmm. even with some of these other things have maybe shifted or just, you know, maybe even emphasis has shifted. Like you were saying, more of an emphasis maybe on parents discipling their own kids. But the value, I think, is that you get a week with kids, like you're saying, to have a time for extended exposure to God's word. And you're praying that who knows how the Lord will use just the teaching times, the conversations, everything that's happening to maybe make his word clear to some of these kids and even save kids at a young age. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Back to you. Give me more.
Well, I just remembered something. Back when I first started doing VBS, and it was in the 80s, right? There was this older pastor that would call it DVBS. And he would come up and we would have him pray. I was the children's pastor, so I would have him pray. So I became the children's pastor, I think in 85, 86, 87, kind of in that, I was doing children's ministry. And I think officially became the children's pastor at Downey First Baptist Church, big 2,000 member church. It was a great gospel centered church. Back in 88 was when I first became the pastor of that group. And I would have the pastor come in. He was an older guy and he'd say, "Oh, welcome to DVBS." And I'm thinking, what is he saying? What is he saying, DVBS? D, it was Daily Vacation Bible School.
Daily.
And, yeah. And by the way, while we were sitting here, I looked up the history. You'll be surprised. The history of Vacation Bible School can be traced back to Hopedale in Illinois, USA, in 1894.
1894.
Sunday
right
school.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here it is. Sunday school teacher D.T. Miles, who was also a public school teacher, felt that she was limited by time constraints in teaching the Bible to children, so she started a daily Bible school to teach children during the summer. The first Bible school enrolled 40 students and lasted 4 weeks. A local school was used for classes with an adjoining park used for recess. In 1898, Virginia Sinclair Hawes, also identified as Mrs. Walker Islet Hawes, director of the children's department at Epiphany Baptist Church in New York City, started an everyday Bible school, EBS, for neighborhood children during the summer at a rented beer parlor in New York's East Side.
There you go.
There in a bronze plaque honoring her efforts located in her hometown of Charlottesville, Virginia, in the foyer of First Baptist Church.
Huh.
Robert Beauville of the Baptist Mission Society became aware of Hawes' summer program and recommended it to other Baptist churches. Beauville established a handful of summer schools, which were taught by students at the Union Theological Seminary. During one summer, 1,000 students were enrolled in 5 different schools. In 1922, he founded the World Association of, get this, DVBS, Daily Vacation Bible School. 1 year later, Standard Publishing produced the very first printed VBS curriculum. Enough material was provided for a 5-week course.
Wow.
For 3 age levels, kindergarten, primary, and junior. And then one more little tidbit here. While not under the title of Vacation Bible School, Dr. Abraham L. Latham of the Third Presbyterian Church in Chester, Pennsylvania, how'd you like to be the third one, initiated a 5-week, 4-hour-per-day summer Bible school in 1912, which at its peak had 650 to 700 students. And this has been claimed to be the first summer Bible school. Anyway.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's pretty remarkable.
So you know what's funny is now we have 1 week ones that are 3 hours a day or 3.5 hours a day.
Right. So the immediate thing that I'm thinking as you're reading is something was there in the culture where people wanted to send their kids for 5 weeks of their summer for 4 hours of classroom instruction about the Bible, right?
Well, my thought, I don't know what the motive, I know the motive of the lady who started it, at least as we see it here.
Yeah.
She wanted to teach the Bible to kids.
Yeah, yeah.
The motive of anybody who sent their kids there?
Could be a number of things. But now I think you'd have to be a harder sell. I think it'd be a harder sell now.
That's
than
wild.
It was in 1912.
Wild? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can't even imagine.
Not surprising.
Well, you know, some people put their kids, I was talking to someone last week from Grace I said, hey, is your child going to Vacation Bible School? They said, no, we've put him in a blank, and it was summer school or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because that will cover him for this many weeks. And both parents work, this, that. Right, and so, right. Whatever the case. I'm just saying, like, right or wrong, that was their choice. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I'm saying. Yeah. And but they needed something for their kid to, quote unquote, do or be watched by
right.
all summer long.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. There's that side of it. But, you know, it is a bigger conversation, so it won't be for today's podcast. But thinking about how, what, you know, there's many correct answers to this, but how can a church wisely engage with ministry to children? That's a huge question, right? How can a local church be wisely engaged? I mean, you could use the terminology of philosophy of children's ministry, but just thinking about how do you do that? What do you prioritize? What do you emphasize? What kind of events would you run during the school year, during the summer? How do you think about the times that the church gathers together? Those are big questions, but not for today, I don't think. anything else from you on YVBS?
Well, you know, again, I'm going to go back to we're called to preach the word. We're called to proclaim the gospel. And every Christian is called to do that. And it happens in homes. Parents are called to teach their kids the word of God in the home. It's called, the church is called to do it. We're not, like, we don't think that us doing VBS takes the place of parents teaching their kids the Bible in the home.
Right.
And so do we know that every parent is doing that? No. Back in the day, I remember in J.C. Ryle's book on family worship, the pastors would go out into the fields and talk to the dads and ask them if they are leading their family spiritually. And if not, they were put under church discipline because they were disobeying the scriptures. It's interesting how far we've come in churches. That's where convicting. we don't take that as seriously as we could. And we think it's an option or somehow, wow, they're cut above if they're teaching their kids the word in the home. Seriously? That's what a Christian parent is called to do.
Yeah.
Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. Every Christian parent. Absolutely. Maybe a final parting shot from me, and then I think we're going to land the plane. In defense of fun at VBS, I do think this happens in all kinds of ways in the church, but when the church gathers, and I'm thinking even of unbelieving kids who are here, even from unbelieving families, I think it's a great thing that we get to have an experience of what enjoyment and fun and all that looks like when you have a bunch of leaders who are around who love the Lord and who have that joy and who want to lead the kids in fun games and show them that kindness. So I think that that in itself has a value. Even, you know, maybe an accompanying value to the message of the gospel, but there's a value in the kids showing up and just having fun. Today's water day. They're chasing each other around with water balloons, I'm sure, as we speak. But I think that's a valuable component as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, anything else from you before we wrap this one up?
Teach the word of God in your home. And I'd say that you want your kids, parents would want their kids under the hearing of the word of God. You also want it to be done accurately, right? So it matters what church you send them to. If you, let's just say someone happened upon this podcast and they aren't a part of Grace Church of Orange and they're just like, I want something for my kid to do, or I want some free childcare. I'm not going to get upset with you about that, but I would say be careful of what you allow your kids to be exposed to, just as careful as you would be with media and other things, and I hope you are, but be careful what kind of church is teaching your kids, because what they're teaching, if whether it's accurate with the Bible or not. I've said this for many years. I'll close with this thought. When I was a children's pastor, but even, and to this day, I will stand by this, children readily accept what they're given. So it is more important for the teacher of children to give the Bible accurately than even it is for the teaching of adults. Why? Because the adult can stand up and say, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave me lies. But the child is more impressionable and under the authority of people that are older than them, and they're going to be much more liable to say, okay. And that is setting a foundation for the rest of their life. Plenty of kids don't get the word until they're in, you know, middle school or high school or in college. But those that are getting the word at a young age, they better get it accurately.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a great place to close. Yeah. Well, listeners, thanks. Hopefully that was maybe some good encouragement for you or just giving you some ways to frame that question. For anybody who's listening who's a parent, the most direct application, I think, is just that encouragement. Be faithful to teach the word to your own kids. Do that faithfully. connect and be involved in the life of a church where that's happening faithfully. But we love you. We're thankful for you, especially if you're at Grace, and we know you. We pray for you throughout the week, and we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you, and have a great day.